Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. It's allpoetry.com, and there you should find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. to midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, nature, and passion on Mondays. Into the Twisted Thoughts of Twisted Dudes Tuesdays with the Twisted. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are Split the Queen, In Our Craft of Stone Art, Richard and Newton, or Double Helix with Aphasian Index. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry, and Saturday, every other Saturday, Come Howl with Gray Eyes at the Moon, Maybe Wild, if he brings you bad company. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our after mid shows. 4:30 to 30 a.m. on Saturday morning. Join the Deep Twins tonight as Victoria and Versus bring you the hearts of LMP. Tuesday, take a walk on the wild side. Wednesday, join Neutron and Cat as the after midnight llamas. Thursday, Split Between, delving into the world of strange magic and incoherent dust, or join Mistress Frost and Mr. M is to bring you Black Lace Diaries. Fridays are split between falling into the dark Japan and break on through. Saturday, Asiana and Babbler is to teach you the fine art coming of sinner. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows, call into YouTube phones, and hang for the phone. How you doing, Pam?
Hey, Rex. I'm doing great. Looking forward to the show, of course. I was going to say that your voice seems to be going in and out. Plus, we have a clicking noise, so I have no idea what that's from, but I thought I'd say something. What else? You know what I really like about this topic here, Rex, is the fact that you focused on a British rock, British music that was out of the box. I think, you know, because so many people know about the invasion and they know about bands from like the 90s, like Oasis. And, you know, I think they forget that, you know, there is that before time, or at least it's not talked about as much. And that was such really, as far as music goes, a lot of these bands, I think, were an important part of music history. So kudos on the choices.
Yeah, outside of Lulu, none of them were well-known. They were the underground, what you found in the nightclubs across London and across England as they played their way through everything. The fact that the song we just opened with was done by Neil Christian and the Crusaders in 1960. And that featured a very, very young 15 going on 16-year-old guitarist.
Wow. Yeah. And then all that energy, and it was really just a time period where rock and roll had only really, started like a decade or so before that, like with Elvis. And I mean, I'm sure there was those before Elvis, like in the 1950s. But yeah, and they, all these songs had one person in common. And are you going to tell everybody who that one person was?
Sure, because Mamyar won that note. And it is Jimmy Page. He played on each and every one of those songs and a whole lot more. He was a session musician known as Little Jim, because they already had another Jim in their entourage, and he was Big Jim. So he was. He started in '63 as a session musician. By the time he was 18, going on 19. Years old.
Wow. Well, that's some really cool information to know.
The,
and
the opening song you just heard was that this first group, Neil and the Neil Christian and the Crusaders. He played with them for 3 years. 66.
Oh wow! And he played the guitar with them, like the lead guitar.
Oh yes. That was his guitar swinging on that song.
Awesome sauce. Well, yeah, I tell you, when it comes to guitar players, he is definitely one of the all-time best. He put like a real like raw energy into guitar playing. That you know. Now, when you chose these songs, did you know they all had that Jimmy Page in common, or was it a pleasant surprise to you when you?
Nope, that was the reason
together.
I took all these songs.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I wanted to.
Cool.
I listened to them all and I figured out there were some different modalities to each of them. There was some blues in others, and there was some straightforward rock in some others. And he was let go to rip when it came to playing on these albums as a session player. Hey, this is what we need, and you improvise as you want when it comes to offering up the solo.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's really cool. I think that is just to learn those little tidbits like that. And he was the one band, he was only, 16 or 17 or something like that? His first one,
16,
I guess.
16, that would have to be the Crusaders.
Wow.
He hadn't even finished school yet.
Well, you know, I've heard of various musicians and throughout history who decided, rather than finish school, to just focus on their music
career. No, he was in his last term. He just hadn't graduated yet, and he was supposed to go onto uni. After that, at the age of 16, he was going to go into art.
Was it just different in that time period, or was it different in Britain? Because I'm so used to people not graduating until they're like 18 and going to college when they're 18 or 19.
Don't know.
Huh.
Can't answer that.
Well,
one.
That'll be.
I don't know the answer to that one.
I was expecting Tom to call in, but I don't know where he went to. I hope he wasn't having any trouble calling in.
Maybe
I know
he's looking for that
Duke. Yeah, that must be it. He's looking. He's offline looking for his zoot suit so he can be a cool cat. I thought zoot suits were something from the 40s.
The what?
Zoot suits. Aren't those, I thought those were from the 40s.
Actually, I do believe, yes, because it was, a wider, flashier suit, kind of came down a little further, covering up the 1940s.
Okay, yeah, with the swing music, and that always looked like some really fun dancing was the swing style dancing, but I think honestly I'd probably end up getting dizzy.
Yeah. Well, then I guess maybe we ought to just kick things off.
Sure. Sounds like a good plan to me. All right. So we'll start out first with an ode to the 60s by Nikki Kelly. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
An ode to the 60s by Nikki Kelly. You were either a Beatles or you were a Rolling Stones fan. I preferred the Beatles with something about the gang. Their music and their lyrics could sit and listen to them all day. I was lucky enough to see them at the ABC, got to watch them play. My friends and I loved them, couldn't wait to buy their records, comparing which Beatle was favorite, but it was John I adored. I wasn't too keen when John had got together with Yoko Ono. How could he leave Cynthia? What he saw in her, I'll never know. I was devastated when they split up. For me, the end of an era, the thought of them never playing again, I shed a few tears. I started to follow Paul and enjoyed listening to his band Wings. What was that all about, to see his wife, trying to sing? The records I collected over the years worth some money. Years ago, gave them to my family, unbeknown, so nothing in it for me. To me, what is more precious are the memories I have of the 60s. It was a time of my life. And I'll never forget those years in my teens. End poem. All right, Pam, what you got? What you got? What you got?
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I noticed in her AN, she said, written about my mother's stories about the 60s. And so what impressed me about that is the fact that by taking time to listen to her mother's stories and listen to the music of her that her mom's generation listened to, she was able to, you know, get an idea, a feel for, you know, not only history itself, but, you know, just to also to be able to have to write this poem. What I like about this poem is she really went into the details. She didn't skimp on that. You know, she opened up right away with the whole idea that you're either a Rolling Stones fan or a Beatles fan. I will say I definitely prefer the Rolling Stones to the Beatles, but, you know, the Beatles, well, obviously they're not too shabby. I like that she brings in the whole thought of, I wasn't too keen when John had to get together with Yoko Ono. I have no opinion on that. But I know that, you know, oftentimes it's not something talked about. So I thought it was really cool that something that's not usually talked about, she threw into the right. Then another cool part was that she brought up Paul's band Wings, which was obviously the 80s. But you know what? I think that, again, is another wonderful attention to detail that shares not only about the history, but about her interest in music. So I thought it was an excellent write and very well done.
Nicely said, Dan. The thought about Yoko was that she came between the gang and John, so to speak. Because before, it was always just the four when it came to studio work. Then all of a sudden, when Yoko came on the scene, she was allowed into the studio while they were putting their things together. And that was not accepted as a norm, something that fit all the way around, because kind of interfering back when it came to the music itself. It was always about four of them and the wives, girlfriends, whatever. That was a side note to be played on later. So that was fought with Yoko. And he did live his wife and his son, Sean. Sean.
Yes.
Julian.
It is Sean.
He left
it? He had another son.
Went off with Yoko. Mentioned married her and had another son, Sean. So that plays out that angle. And, like I said up top, it was a battle between those two. They played off each other when one put out a great album. It was the toast of town for the other to try and top them, whether it was the cover or the music itself.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that, you know, and I like that. I like learning those little details about history. We actually have Tom on the line, and I keep trying to unmute him, but then I think he must be talking to his better half. So I keep re-muting him. But
he's trying to make his zoot suit fit.
Yeah, he's asking her opinion on his zoot suit. All right, I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. And hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
I'm glad to. I'm glad.
You got
how
that
you doing,
zoot
sir?
Suit on?
What's this? Did
got
I read
that
this?
Zoot
did
suit?
I? Oh yeah. I actually had one at one point in life. Found it in
cool.
A secondhand store. I went to a little boarding school. We took great delight in stretching the rules in every way possible. And when I graduated, it was the last year of a dress code, but we had to wear coat and tie to dinner and to meeting. And we all went out and got butter plate pie, you know, the big wide ties, when everybody was wearing skinny ties and wore zoot suits whenever possible, you know. You'd be amazed some of the things you could find in the old secondhand stores around Philadelphia. And, you know, they didn't tell us what kind of suit we had to wear, so we used our imagination.
Makes sense to me, right, Rex?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I graduated in 1968, so you know where the world was at that point in time. It a little bit of controversy, a little bit of dope, and a little bit of Vietnam War, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the boring 80s were nothing like that. We had neon and high bangs. That was us.
Yeah, well, you know, it I mean, I can remember teaching my mother how to do the twist when it came out, and winning the jitterbug contest in my local high school when I was in fifth grade with my best friend's seventh grade sister. And the Beatles saved rock and roll, you know, along with Chubby Checker and the Twist. Yeah. History's a bitch.
All right, Pam, let's say kick in with
right.
number two.
Okay, sounds good to me. Up next, I'm going to put your poem, Tom. So go ahead and give it a read for us.
Oh, thank you much. Now, I first heard Pity the Fool, which is what I used for the prompt, when it was done by the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. Anyway, this is She's Got It. Everybody knows, but no one is telling. The games people play are for others to be watching. Like a fool playing three-card Monty, they watch the man-killer pick out her bounty. nod to one another, whisper bets about how long it will last. No one really wonders who will get it or if there will be changes from the past. Yeah, everybody's watching, waiting for the fall. The best part of this hobby is there's no cost to the viewer at all. They come into the bar acting like they're so cool. She makes her inspection, recognizes how big a fool. She ain't in it for the money. She don't care about love. She just thinks it's funny when someone's ego is deflated and left feeling like a dud. We always toast them, listen to their whines. We could have told them, but it's better when cool finds out it's made them a fool. Ain't no place for pity. Ain't no time for school. She is so damn pretty, but she's not about to get used. End poem.
Great read, Tom. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got?
All right. Well, first of all, Tom, you and I wrote to the same song, so I would give you an A plus and me a C plus. But, you know, I really like how you created a storyline. Well, first of all, I have to agree, people watching, especially at bars, some of the cheapest entertainment, if you don't count the booze, that you can ever have. And, you know, I like that you create characters that are interesting, that you give us the whole concept of the players being played, of the guys, the people being made fools of, and how, you know, everybody they know what's going on, but they keep it to themselves. And, you know, there was a really nice flow to this write that I enjoyed. And I liked this all the way through, but I especially liked the use of language in that second stanza. They come into the bar acting like they're so cool. She makes her inspection, recognizes how big a fool she ain't in for money. She don't care about love. She just thinks it's funny when someone's ego is deflated and left feeling like a dud. You know, and the thing is the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So it makes sense that the bigger the ego is, the bigger the ego falls. So just excellent write all the way through and very well done.
And truthfully, I used to know a bar like this, by the way. It's called Winberry's. In Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh, cool.
It was sad. It was a sad day when it closed. There was almost, you know, a party for mourning.
Right. Oh, I remember. Yep. I remember bars like that. In the small town I used to live in, Minon, Wisconsin, we had a bar called the Buck and Wing, and it was mostly for hunters to go to, but pretty much everybody went there. And it had such a bad reputation for fights and that it got called the Duck and Swing.
I love places like that. You know, it's funny how some of our bars really develop reputations of one type or another. I mean, I remember a place near my college called Lutz's where they had the best ham sandwiches in town. It was more like a beer garden because half the kids in the neighborhood ran through the bar telling their parents, hey, you got to come home for this, for that, you know.
Right. Exactly. Well, I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to what Rex has to say about this poem. So, Rex.
Well, I like the opening with this, the games to be played up for others to be watching. It's a nice note to, you know what, let's set up the dominoes and see who falls and how far they fall. And then, like a fool playing three-card Monty, they watch the man killer pick out her bounty. There's that that note to someone who's been around the block and enjoys the hunt and then the letdown, because that's what it's all about, and the bets that go on behind the scenes with the guys. How long is this one going to last? But then they come into the bar acting like they're so cool. All right, big man on campus, so to speak. And it's never about the money. It's not about the love. She just thinks it's a great bit of fun cutting down to size those who think what wags between their legs holds them up as a prize for women, which is a quite funny piece.
Yeah,
I like one guy. I like one guy who commented saying he wanted to meet some woman like that, and I'm thinking, man, just another fool.
Right, right. They want to meet a woman like that until they meet a woman like that.
Yeah, chew them up and spit them out.
That was a great comment, Rex. I have to agree with you. That opening was it was excellent.
So what we got next?
All right. Well, up next we have Reminiscing by Betty Page.
Yeah, that was all you.
What? Oh, here I was going to make you read it, but if you insist... All right. This is Reminiscing by Betty Page, and goes like this. Whenever you miss the tenderness in my kiss, just dream of me home. We may be apart, daggers still left in our hearts, reminiscing love. Lonely, not alone, people thinking we're alive, going through motions. Whenever you miss the tenderness in my kiss, just dream of me home. We may be apart, daggers still left in our hearts, reminiscing love. So when you're in bed, thoughts of me haunting you, love, as you're haunting me, dancing, reminiscing, in our minds, haunted mansions, forever in love. End poem.
Great read, Sam. Thank you very much. And Tom, what do you think? Why don't you lead us up?
I love this. Whenever you miss the tenderness in my kiss, just dream of me home. Because she plays with that idea in the we may be apart and lonely but not alone. And it just the whole way, the whole piece sort of like waltzes you around until you get to that last, stanza of dancing, reminiscing in our minds, haunted mansions, forever in love. She does a beautiful job. She really plays the scenes and the feelings really nicely, so that you almost want her to wrap it up with just the tenderness that's there in that last verse, and she gives it to you almost like a blessing. Really, really sweetly done.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tom. And Pam, how about you? Did you read it?
Well, first of all, you should know that I was planning on reading this the whole time, but I can't help giving you shit. As always, I like the way she keeps her line short so that it has a similar, like the meter is the same. It flows really nicely. I like how this has that kind of bittersweet message, like that they're apart. And, they have that really dark line of daggers still left in our hearts, reminiscing love. So there's still that idea of loving somebody, but knowing that you had hurt each other. And I think that, to me, the deepest lines were lonely, not alone, people thinking we're alive, going through motions. I thought that was such an important and striking part of the poem because of the fact that, a lot of times when you're brokenhearted, you're hurt, you're just going through something difficult, you try to keep it through people, and you put on that mask, you put on that fake smile, you nod, you act like, you go through the motions like everything's okay. And there's a real tenderness to this, and especially when she says, so when you're in bed, thoughts of me haunting you, love, as you're haunting me. There's that whole idea of just, that you just can't let somebody go, and you hope beyond hope that they are somehow feeling the same way, even if you know realistically it means not getting back together. So just a wonderful, heartfelt write, and very well done.
Oh, Okay. I like that. Two things got me with this. Daggers still left in our hearts, and thoughts of me haunting you, love, as you're haunting me. Kind of hits on that note of self-actuated destruction, mutual destruction. And even through that mutual destruction, the thoughts of haunting still offers up that tone of death, the death of the love, the death of each other, the death of that which they had to begin with. Because that repetition and that dagger still left in our hearts sent a hell of a message that they both did each other damage.
I like that. You know, I like that you mentioned that you used the word mutual, a mutual destruction. So there wasn't all that one side or the other. So I think that was a really keen observation there, Rex, and great comment.
All right, what we got next?
All right. Up next, I'm bringing us back to our one carryover from last week, and that is Dance by I Love Poems. And we have a recording for that one. So let me go ahead, and here we go.
I love poems. Dance. Danse. Dance in the streets. The heart is singing, dance on the roofs, the soul is floating, dance at seaside, soft waves are calling, dance at night, dawn is nearby, dance on mountains to arrive to the summit, dance under the rain, it loses the heart, dance with the wind, it whispers love songs. Dance in your dreams. Dreams are real. Danse dans les rues. Le cœur chante. Danse sur les toits. L'âme flotte. Danse au bord de la mer. Les douces vagues t'appellent. Danse dans la nuit. L'aube est tout près. Danse sur les montagnes. Pour arriver au sommet, danse sous la pluie, elle soulage. Danse auprès du vent, il souffle des mots d'amour. Danse dans tes rêves, les rêves sont vrais. End of poem.
Great read, Salwa, and thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Pam, why don't you lead us off?
Well, as always, she has an absolute beautiful reading voice in whatever language she's reading in. And I really, there's a certain sense of joy in this conveyed. And I think it's because, to me anyway, the repetitive use of the word dance. There, you know, dancing can express so many things. You know, it expresses joy, love. Even sorrow and sadness. I mean, there's kind of a certain, like, sense of freedom within this rite. Like, you don't get the idea that somebody's being told that they should dance in, like, an organized way, but rather in a way, like, you know that expression, dance like nobody's watching? That's what I feel like this is. This is all about dancing like nobody's watching. And I really particularly like dance on the roofs, the soul is floating, dance at seaside, soft waves are calling. And then I like how she brings nature into the second stanza. Dance under the rain, it lulls the heart, dance with the wind, it whispers love songs. You know, I think there's too much of people caring about what other people think, rather than just allowing themselves to be expressive in their freedoms. So just a lovely brevity and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. And Tom, how about you? What do you think?
Well, I really love this because the, you know, dance in the streets, the heart is singing. It's on the roof. The soul is floating. Mm. You know, it's like each dance becomes an expression a further, and as it goes on, a further expression of the ways that one moves and one is expresses their love, their joy, I wish I knew the French phrase and could pronounce it properly, of the love of life. And I like the way she echoes, like the dance at Seaside, soft waves are calling, you go down below. In the same space, it lulls the heart, dance with the wind, it whispers love songs. And that sense of the seaside and the waves are calling, the wind, and the wind is speaking to you. It's like as you dance, you become part of all that is around you and bigger than life itself, so that dance in your dreams, because dreams are real. I think this is one of the most stunning and vibrantly alive pieces of hers I've read. Really strikingly beautiful.
Great comment, Tom. Thank you very much. You guys are hit on everything else, so I'm going to have to go with the backside thought of this. I love what you just said, Tom. That hits all those great notes in this, and it does work very well. I like the back angle of this, as the metaphor. Dance in the streets, dance on the roofs, dance at the seaside, dance at night. The idea of the dance itself is to actually enjoy life. Even though this is about loving, enjoying the dancing, it also hits on that note on the back end of actually enjoying the life with your dancing, or just lyrically dancing within your mind, enjoying that which you strive through each and every day as you live and breathe and walk the earth. So I like it for that reason too. Nicely done, Sal. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
Yeah, I know, but isn't that French saying something de vie, like jeu de vie or something like that? I know my pronunciation is horrible. The French thing that means, you know, something to do with, loving life to the fullest. What?
I think that was the right
phrase.
Joie de vivre.
Joie, that's
it. Joie de vivre. Yes. Yes, that's it. I knew I was getting, I was off on the first word. And, all right. So let's see what we got next. And up next we have At Long Last by Namuel. And we do have a recording for that one also. So let me move you on over there. And here we go.
At long last, I wake up in the morning and tune into the podcast, waiting for my song to be played at long last. It ain't much, but it's honest, and they agreed to play it, so I'm here listening. So excited, I'm going to have a fit. I'm no genius like Beethoven, no master like Tchaikovsky, but I make up for it with sheer moxie. So come listen to my song on this lone podcast, 'cause I've been waiting for my song to be played at long last.
Great read, Mamuel. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. I got a kick out of this. But I'm going to start with you, Thomas. What do you think?
Let me see if I can find the right words for this. Chuck Berry would definitely have things to say. But the feeling of longing, it's in all the words, but it's a longing that is about also a certain level of recognition, of celebration, of finally getting your chance to be heard. You know, it ain't much, but it's honest, and they agreed to play it. I'm no genius like Beethoven, no master like Tchaikovsky, but I make up for it with sheer moxie. Is not so much an expression of humbleness, but more about, you know, I'm just waiting my turn. There's a real great play in this of the longing and waiting for the chance just to be heard, just to get out in front of everybody, and the belief that you really have something to say that's worth hearing. I like it because it becomes an expression more of the soul of the artist and the desire to have your chance to perform, more than an expression of ego of how great I am or anything else like that. And it makes it very tender, almost intimate in the way that it speaks to the audience. I'm really quite impressed.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tom. And Pam, how about you? What do you think?
Oh, I really like this. First of all, I have to say I like where Tom said about, you know, becoming an expression of the artist. I thought that was a really cool statement. Now, what I liked about this nice little song is, well, first of all, she throws in the word podcast to give it a more modern feel. And yet she references Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, you know, and then so I feel it felt like it kind of balanced itself out in the whole idea of the classic and the modern. It was one of those rites that makes me smile, you know, because of the idea that nowadays there's so many ways that we can get out there and express ourselves. But what I particularly liked, what particularly made me grin big, was the use of the word moxie. You don't see that word used too much anymore, and I thought it was just perfect for this poem, and that was probably my favorite line. I'm no genius like Beethoven, no master like Tchaikovsky, but I make up for it with sheer moxie. And I 100% believe that about Mamia. That girl has sheer moxie, and so does this poem. So excellent writing, very well done.
Well, you two cover this quite well, so I have to go on the back end of this. This reminds me of want to get my picture on the cover, want to buy 5 copies for my mother, gonna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone. This is exactly what that is. You got to have that little bit of zest and that little knowledge behind you, knowing you're going to make it. It might take a bit, but when it finally happens, you get to sit there, and that's what she hits on with that. So come listen to my song on this lonely podcast, because I've been waiting for my song to play it at long last. There is that note of as Tom put it, the longing, the long road to little CD bars, getting your stuff out there, and finally I get to hear it live.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great comment. And actually, when you were saying that, it kind of made me think of when you ever watched the movie about, who is it? Is it the one who was singing the song Coal Miner's Daughter?
Oh, Loretta Lynn.
Loretta Lynn. Yes. You ever watch that movie about her and how she first started out?
Nope.
That's a really good movie. I highly recommend it. But that's what kind of reminded me of, is how she started out in the small bars and, you know, worked her way up.
All right, what we got next?
All right, I usually wait on my poems, but I'm going to put mine up because, well, I'm being greedy and I want a comment from both you and Tom before he leaves.
Well, that sounds dangerous. Tom, I think we're in deep doo-doo here.
Don't
worry.
And you're getting the suit stripped away, and I'm giving up my stats.
This is actually a little milder than most of my poems recently, so you don't have to fret too much, gentlemen. All right. And this is watch the people walking by, and it goes like this. Watch the people walking by, some they laugh and some they cry, and others keep on dreaming as cotton clouds float in the sky. Cars driving by loud and fast, rock and roll, it's such a blast. Guys and gals always scheming for true love they hope will last. But some are fools just like me, common sense gone out for tea, crazy for a smile beaming that shakes a person's sanity. There's a little truth in every lie, a little low in every high, a little lost in the redeeming, sweetest binds that always tie. Watch the lovers holding hands, music soars across the land, ardent fans always screaming at the young upcoming bands. End poem. See, nothing but
fear. I pity the two fools who now have to comment. And Tom, I'm letting you lead off.
Oh, you're ducking and dodging. Well,
he called you out, Rex.
It truthfully reminded me of summertime at the beach in Virginia Beach, where I grew up part of my time as a kid. Before you had audio wars between people who had loaded their car with super bass speakers and all that crap, back when all it was just turning up the radio, whatever the company put in the car, that's what you had. And I can remember people, you know, riding down the street with the roof down on their car and the radio blaring, and summertime was just so good. And girlfriend on one side and a couple of buddies and their girls in the back seat, no seat, people screaming and hanging out, yelling at each other, cruising the beach. For some reason, this poem really just reminds me of that level of 1964, 1960 rock and roll happiness. Life is just, you know, magic, because we didn't know enough about how the world works or how you had to be safe and wear a helmet when you're on a motorcycle with seatbelts and all that other stuff. Or that, you know, you had to know so much about technology and do things better than somebody else. It was just enjoying what was given to you. And I love that line. There's a little truth in every lie, a little low in every high, a little lost in the redeeming sweetness, vibes, all that always tie. That's just, you know, it sort of catches all of that. There's a great deal of just sort of happiness and a sense of frolic, for lack of a better word, that lives in this poem. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Tom.
Well,
it's like
Tom.
That.
Thank
it's like that
much.
Saying where it says, "Raise your hand if you drink from a garden hose and live to tell about it." Nowadays, they worry about everything and anything.
Well, you know,
sorry,
there's spirit in this that somebody said this about. Suzanne, and she shared it with us earlier this day, which is, you're the kind of person who, when you were a little kid, they told you to sit in a corner and you look back at them and said, "Well, inside, I'm still standing up."
Exactly.
All right, this bit me up. I like what Tom had to say, but this bit me up with a little bit of American Graffiti, you know, the roll through the old time burger joint. Everybody's dropped in with their cars. So you got the pom-pom girls and the whatever those skirts were called back in the day. I can't remember at the moment. But it kind of hits on that note. And then there's the dare, and then there's the race. And, hey, you know what? There's always a fool, especially when you're running for Reggie's.
Absolutely. That was such an awesome movie. And, yeah, that was a great comment.
Yeah. That second stanza that really catches all that nicely.
Thank you. Thank you to both of you. And
what we got next?
Up next, we have Trappings of Success by Martha Ghetto, and we have a recording for that one. So I'll go ahead and push play.
Trappings of Success by Martha Gettle. You and I, we got that big house on the hill. We don't worry how we're gonna pay our bills. I have got a closet full of all the latest clothes. And we hardly even notice where the money goes. You finally got that fancy office you dreamed about. But baby, sometimes I wonder what we're doing without. I lay on satin sheets in our bed every night. But it's only lonely without you there to hold me tight. We got all the things we dream life would bring, from fancy cars to big old diamond rings. The trappings of success, we wear them well. But there is another side of the story to tell. You used to lay in bed and just hold me tight. Now it seems you have to work late every night. So I lay in my fancy bed, big diamonds on my hand, and I wonder in my heart if you're still my man. We got all the things we dream life would bring, from fancy cars to big old diamond rings. The trappings of success, we wear them well. But there is another side of the story to tell. Darling, I so miss the love that we once shared, back when I never doubted how much you cared. The trappings of success, I'd trade them every one for the days of sunshine when our love was fun.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And, Pam, you get to roll on this first thought. Pam?
Oh, I did not hear my name. I was hiding. Can't you see me behind the tree wearing the trench coat? But I've come out now, so. All right. Well, actually, I didn't hear you say my name. But
no more.
You've come out now. Live on Blog Talk Radio. Pam just came out.
She's coming out.
Surprise! No, I really liked this song. You know, you can tell Martha is having some real fun with her writes and her singing, and I think that's really cool. And for some reason, you know, this made me think of that short story about the young couple who, at Christmas time, she cut her hair in order to buy him something, and I'm blanking out what, and he sold his thing that it was for, in order to buy her a tortoiseshell comb that she didn't need anymore because her hair was gone. Like, they each sacrificed something that was really important to them, and they were, because they were extremely poor. And the reason I thought of that is because there's this message here of how when they before all the money came along, they were happy. They were laying in bed together. They were snuggling. They were spending time together. And then the money came, and the riches came. You know, being able to be extravagant. And I like how she tells us, you know, there's another side of the story. And, yeah, you know, she's got all, they both have all this stuff that, you know, fancy cars, diamond rings, all that. But she's laying in bed alone, which means that, you know, something else has his attention. Now, whether that something else is another woman or a few women, or if it's simply just trying to keep up with the job that makes him rich, I'm not really sure. But the point is she's, as a woman who's living in the lap of luxury, she realizes that there are things that are missing. So I really like the storyline that she created in this. I thought it was heartfelt and very well done.
Well, I said, Ben, thank you very much. And Tom, how about you?
Well, now that you've stolen my thunder and said everything I planned to say.
I'm sorry. That's
so good at it, too. You know, you almost
I've been
love
there, so I know the thing.
We're doing that to you. In any case, this is a really nicely laid out song about the emptiness of money and the emptiness of diamonds when the person who you really love and who gave them there isn't there to share them with you. we got all the things that in the chorus that she says, we got all the things we dreamed life would bring from fancy cars and big old diamond rings. The trappings of success, we wear them well, but there's another side of the story to tell. And she tells it about how they used to lay in bed and hold each other close. And now she's in the bed with all the fancy sheets and diamonds and everything else, but she ain't got him. You know, and like Pam said, whether it's women or, you know, chasing the money, something got more important than she is. And somehow for everything they got, what was important got lost. And she does a really great way of bringing that home with more of the ache of loneliness than a bitterness of betrayal, which is really nice touch in the way this whole piece is brought across.
Tom, I like that thought. And you're right. This does hit on that note of be careful of the trappings. It is great to have dreams, but when you let the dreams rule your life, you find out you don't have a life anymore because what was once important no longer is. And you end up finally figuring out, even with all that money, it can buy you some semblance of happiness, but you often feel like sometimes the simpler things in life and life itself in a simpler form offers up that much more, which is whole to you, as opposed to having all the money in the world and you're still alone. All right, Pam.
Amen to that, Rex. Well said there. And up next we have Record Hop by Gerald Green, and we have a recording for that. So, I think we do anyways. Here we go.
Record Hop, written and read by Gerald Green. I want to dance, to dance. Don't let the music stop. I'll go with you, oh, take me there, to Friday night's Record Hop, where songs are new to me and you, and lyrics bounce and spin, paces fast, but will it last when men in black call it sin? Forget the blues, forget the jazz, bring on the rock and roll. I want to dance. Give me a chance. This isn't a summer stroll. Leave Bach alone. Let Mozart die. Ignore their sleepy tunes. Excite me now with new guitars, confetti, and pink balloons. My feet won't stop. Just want to move. Keep time with what they play. I sing along with each new song and feel alive every day. The speakers blast, our hips move fast in tune with rhythm's beat. I'm in a trance at Friday's dance while keeping time with my feet. So take me there, I've gotta go. I'll let you hold me tight. We'll move together, you and me, to music on Friday night. End poem.
Run over my home. I gotta hear the
great read, Gerald. Thank you very much for the sound pad. It is greatly appreciated. That was a good one. And Tom, I get the feeling you're going to enjoy this one. What do you think?
This is just fun. It catches the adolescent come young adult looking for that moment of excitement, using the music to get them, you know, get them hot. Oh God, I can remember my grandmother who turned down a chance to sing at the Met because the choir lady didn't do that kind of thing. Talking about how rock and roll was jungle music, and my father screaming that, you know, you couldn't understand the word and it didn't make any sense, and it just, you know, that whole second stanza, you know, the pace is fast, but will it last when men in black call it sin? You know, I can remember because we used to go to sit in the evangelical tent just for entertainment on a Friday night sometimes. We were bad. and listening to them carry on about rock and roll, and as soon as, you know, we slipped out of the tent, you know, going right on down and hitting that rock and roll really hard and fast, and eating watermelons that were soaked in vodka. Yeah, it was such a time and such a wonderful world. But he just catches all of that. I love the Leave Bach Alone, Let Mother Die, Ignore the Sleepy Tunes, Sight Me Now with New Guitars, Confetti and Pink Balloons. Just, there was so much of that. I started going to sock hops and all that kind of stuff when I was 10 years old. It was like rock and roll was absolutely the music of youth, and still is in a whole lot of ways. Even if, you know, the Doobie Brothers are in their 70s.
Oh, yeah. And that thought you dropped in when Men in Black Courts, and that had me thinking of Footloose, where the kids of that town had enough and just went down with it. Had that nice note of rebellion, which is the mark of youth, not running wild, so to speak, but living for themselves in the moment, in the day.
You know, there actually was a city where a kid had to fight against the rule against no dancing allowed in town.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading that somewhere. I'm not quite sure where, but I remember, too. I've never been to an evangelical meeting, but I have done the outdoor revival, and those are a blast.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really funny if going to a white, I have to make the separation, a white guy's revival where the white minister's up in there talking about sin and everything else like that, and going to a really grassroots black church where they're singing and screaming and carrying on, and it gets to be the point where it begins to feel like a huge party, and you know why, you know, rock and roll was born out of the blues in so many ways, because it's right there. It's just the vibrant, the light, the aliveness is just tremendous.
Oh, it is, because those particular meetings, oh man, it's not just the howl. I mean, everybody's whooping, there's joy in the air. The atmosphere is filled with love and happiness.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a different dichotomy.
Oh yeah, and it's funny. The definitions of sin are different too. If you listen to the two of them. Much more about love your neighbor and taking care of each other in the black churches, at least in my experience, than in the white evangelical churches. A lot more sin and damnation.
I know, and you know that's all right, but you know, there's got to be a little bit more than just sin and damnation, because that just to a young mind that just reeks of platitudes. no one really wants to hear, especially at that age. I mean, they want to hear about a little about fun, the enjoyment of life, the beauty, all those things that are supposed to be in the good book that you're supposed to be teaching us about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I have to say that Footloose, I knew that was based on a kind of a true story, and I thought that was, like, one of the all-time best movies. And what I particularly liked about it is at the end, as part of the defense, he brought up passages in the Bible that mention dancing. And so I thought that was really cool. And it's always interesting to me how churches have such different ways of approaching sermons and celebrations. I used to go to a Nazarene church, and one of the things we did is for Easter service, we'd get up like before sunrise, and we'd have an Easter service sunrise in a sermon, you know, in the cemetery. So I was telling Victoria about this, because I was talking to her on the phone. I'm telling Victoria about this, and her reaction was like, why were you in the cemetery? And I realized as she started laughing that not every church has Easter service in a cemetery.
No, and she probably didn't get it at all,
Well, we both come from Christian churches that we've been gone to before. So, but hers was like, you know, it's like, I can't remember, but I don't want to talk too much about Victoria, but it was just like a really funny and interesting conversation adult and realize that not everybody worships and celebrates the same. So
no, and you know, you can't even say you say evangelical. And people say it like everybody who's evangelical is all the same. There is so much variety and so many differences between each church that if you tried to go to like four or five different evangelical churches, one right after the other, by the time you got to the fifth one, your mind would be massively confused.
Absolutely. But I really liked, Rex, that you brought up about celebrating the beauty and the joy of life. And if you don't mind, I'd like to go ahead and make my comment on Gerald's poem.
I bet it.
Awesome sauce. So I actually came across this on Late Night Poets' reading list and commented on it a couple days or so ago. And one of the things I said is that this poem really, it makes me want to dance. It was like I didn't even listen to the audio and hear the music he had tossed in there. I think it would be really cool if Gerald could put in a background music, but I did like that he had the music at the beginning and at the end. Just reading the words.
Yeah, I thought he was going to break in the song at that point.
I know, me too. I was all ready, you know. And what I felt like was about this, right, that I particularly liked about it is that it celebrated rock. It celebrates rock and roll. It celebrates the freedom to express yourself through movement. And it just, it's like Tom said, it's one of those poems that celebrates rock and roll, that, you know, it's the music of youth. But funny thing is the music that I listened to in the 90s, my parents said the same thing, that they couldn't understand a damn word of any one of my songs that I was listening to. But no, this is just a great write and very well done.
Absolutely. All right, so where would you like to go next?
Now the question is did I grab the next song, or was I too busy being entertained by you two gentlemen? I did grab the next poem. All right, up next we have 60 Standing There by Rich F., and this is our last SoundCloud for the night, and then we will be put to work. So, here we go.
Thank you. Swinging 60s, Schoolboy Satisfaction, Shouting at My Rocking Radio, Sugar Sugar, Sweet Refrain Attraction, Flower Power, Pumping Hearts Aglow. And now, this blues boy beams as he discovers Luscious Lulu and her Latin lovers. Oh, this Scots lass makes me want to shout. Papa tells me homework to be done. Stormcloud essays sent to Sir with love, but oh to her, post passions in the sun. Oh my tiger, try to understand, we must believe in love. Please take my hand. Shout it from the rooftops once again. Here comes the night, and I'll come running over. This boat I row, now in the wind and rain, to search for calmer waters, find my lover. And now I'm shouting out into dark night, illuminate my way, let love ignite. I cry out one more time, our flames relight. Time at last to meet the cosmic king, his planets sold and bought. I saw you standing there, now cheek to cheek, dancing faster, destinies now sought. Surprise, surprise, your beauty bells that rang, you make my heart beat, boom boom bang a bang. Standing there, now cheek to cheek, dancing faster, destiny's now sought. Surprise, surprise, your beauty bells that rang, you make my heart beat, boom boom, bang a bang. You make my heart beat, boom boom, bang a bang.
Great read, Rich. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Pam, why don't you start us off?
You, me? Or Pam?
Pam?
Sorry. Yep. Yeah, this is great. It's the, you know what it is? It's that me and Tom both have three-letter names that end in M. So,
oh, that's too easy. Give it a break.
What I really liked about this is, first of all, we got to learn who Rich's boyhood crush was, Lulu. Very cool there. I like how this wonderful song, his guitar playing is always spot on, wonderful flow and some alliteration in here. I really like Oldest Scott's Last Makes Me Want to Shout, Papa Tell Me Homework to Be Done, Storm Cloud Essay Sent to Sir with Love. Instantly, that's just really wonderful lines about, you know, and relatable lines about the dad trying to put his foot down and saying, you know, you got to focus on the homework, and the young man daydreaming about his true love. And I really like how at the end, He does that turn in that last stanza. It becomes all about that traveling back in time to that wormhole. And what I liked about that is it added a nice, clever twist to the storyline, but it was also kind of a nod to Rich's own love of science fiction and fantasy. So I thought that was really cool. To top it all off, surprise, surprise, your beauty bells that rang, you make my heart beat, boom, boom, bang a bang. I really liked that. That was, you know, it had some really just uplifting phrasing that made you just kind of tap your feet along and just enjoy the moment of listening and reading. So excellent writing, very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Tom, how about you?
Yeah, well, you know, the line "Here Comes the Night" reminded me of the when I first heard Van Morrison with a group called Them back in 1965. Lulu was into "Sir with Love," if I remember correctly, was about 1967, and I was already getting into the Monterey Pop Festival. And I had been designing clothes in the head shop boutique, passing for 22 when I was only 16. life was an adventure back then, and he catches a lot of that in a way with the flower power, pumping hearts to glow. And the Storm Cloud Essays Sent to Sir with Love, because I went and saw that with a girlfriend. I remember her name, Osa Wickstrom. God, that brings back some whole lot of hideous memories. it just captured so much. And the business about Pop, the father shouting at him to get his homework done, that also hits home, you know. God, it's just amazing. He definitely catches, and I like to point out, as Pam did, about the wormhole time at last to meet the cosmic king, you know, and there was so much going on at that point in time, so much waking up. I mean, you know, on one hand, you have Donovan and Dylan, and on the other, the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, but you also had the zombies, Unit 4 plus 2, them, mixture of Dionne Warwick, the Supremes, all of it happening at the same time. If you think about it, that was so much music coming from so many different directions. He hit a whole lot of the right notes, because he just woke up a ton of memories.
Great comment there, Tom. Thank you very much. Best thing I can offer up is he dropped in a number of songs from Lulu, too. Sir with Love, Surprise, Surprise, and Bang a Bang, amongst others. But the thought that I had The Man with the Golden Gun, the James Bond movie. Alice Cooper wrote the original song for that movie track, that soundtrack, but they didn't care for it so much. Alice Cooper put it out the very next year on one of his albums, but Lulu actually got the lead role, the lead song for that movie.
Well, you know, it's...
Oh, that's cool to know.
It's just like in the United States, Gloria, which was a song that Van Morrison created and made big, got picked up by somebody else. Of course, the first Bruce Springsteen song, Went to England, was covered by Manfred Mann and his Earth Band.
Blinded by the Light.
Known really for doo-wop ditty in the United States, but that came back and became the Blinded by the Light came back and was a hit before anybody who knew who Bruce Springsteen was.
It was a massive hit, and the funny thing was, the way Manfred Mann lined it up, it was a whole lot better song than what Bruce had originally put out, which was the amazing part.
Well, I have the first, I have his, you know, first Asbury Duke's album with because I went and dug that up. I mean, I'm somebody who has almost 4,000 vinyl, you know, I've got records just every fucking place you want to look. My wife hates it, but I'm addicted. I admit it. When I worked with kids, one of them found out how many albums I had. He goes, "Man, you're worse than my mother. You're a vinyl junkie."
What was that, Tom?
I see the kid looked at me and told me I was worse than his mother. I was a vinyl junkie.
I feel like the Vinyl Junkies would be a good name for a band. I think me and Rex should form a band and call it the Vinyl Junkies.
You should have a contest where people have to write poems about bands that they made up songs for. That they made up. Like I used to tell kids about this incredible heavy metal band called Maximum Damage, which it was totally made up. And they sit there and go, "Wow, really?"
There you go.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is,
yeah,
there probably is actually a band called, you know, Maximum Damage.
Actually, it's a record store. Vinyl Junkies.
Really?
Oh, Vinyl Junkies.
Absolutely. And a website.
Oh my gosh. In Duluth, Minnesota, we actually used to be a shop called The Last Place on Earth, but they weren't a record shop. They were a glass pipe shop. So, that's what they had to call themselves.
Yeah, well, the first head shop in book in Virginia Beach was set up by two girls who had just graduated from Sarah Lawrence in one of its last years as an all-girls college, and they called it Wolfgang. And it was in a little place called Eden's Alley, a little alleyway called Eden's Alley, literally, before, they opened up the first head shop boutique. All the University of Virginia law students who were summer cops would come in there and hang out because there were two good-looking girls.
Oh,
nice.
Wow. How about you, Rex? In Florida or New York, was there any funny shops or with funny names?
Oh, there were head shops everywhere. What was it? There was one back
Bessie
in the day. I can't remember. Spencer's. Always had black lights. Always had black light posters. You can find pipes, papers, and other stuff in there.
Oh,
yeah, they went really heavy on all the hippie stuff because before that they put out little catalogs full of all sorts of little funny gadgets and stuff, you know, that you'd want to buy, because I remember them from my grandmother having them around her house.
Yeah, I remember what was it called? Oh, I remember the shotgun, the plastic squeeze thing. You put the joint inside in a little holder, and it's all lit and ready to go, and you squeeze, and you take a big old shotgun from that plastic tube.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going down that road.
All right, Am, where are we going there?
Say, I ain't touching that. All right. Up next, we have Barroom Stage by Daniel Vecchino and Rex. Will you give that a read for us, please?
All righty. Barroom Stage by Daniel Vecchino. Songscapes echo from car window panes, like canyon powdered gunshots, off the buildings and through the alleys, over the homeless and beyond the businessman, still the deepest of cities with the mandated music of pop culture hypnotists. And I stand on a mosaic sidewalk of flowing paint. I, like a still life etching to be ignored on the back wall of a carnival vendor's tent. And I hear a pulse undetectable on the face of a stranger. You must grab them by the throat and squeeze just enough to hold them to feel the heartbeat that drives. But without sight, and even without touch, I feel a pulse of crying humanity vibrate through smoke-darkened windows. Beyond the stress-powered beer and companion desperate conversations sings the soon-to-be-forgotten cries of the musicians of the meek. Amateurs and part-timers, dream seekers and dream holders, guitar necks caressed like forgotten lovers of youth, microphones melt from the breath of unreleased passion, drumheads conduct the rhythm of the night, and I release the soul of the city. And poem. I like that. Mm. All right, Pam, dig her up.
All right. I really like this. I always like Daniel's writing, but I feel like he captures a certain energy and vibe in this. I noticed that he says he didn't know any of the musical prompts, but he enjoyed looking at the links, and he was inspired by the thought of underground music. So I thought that was really cool. I like how he starts out with soundscapes echo from car window panes, like canyon powder gunshots off the buildings and through the alley. And I stand on a mosaic sidewalk of flowing paint. I like a still light etching to be ignored on the back wall of a carnival vendor's tent. It captures the whole idea of almost like the wallflower who's at the party, who's standing in the back just listening to the music, enjoying the music, you know, watching the people. And there's a certain energy to this poem that really grabs your attention. And I like also, and I hear a pulse undetectable on the face of a stranger. You must grab them by the throat and squeeze just enough to hold them to feel the heartbeat that drives without sight and even without touch. I feel a pulse of crying humanity. And I feel those are really strong lines that focus on the idea of how music grabs us, how the beat of the music grabs us. And there's no physical touching, but there's just this kind of sense of understanding and communicating without touch, without words. You know, just a glance and just leaning into the music. So I think this is a wonderful, strong write and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dan. And Tom, how about you?
Well, you took all the good lines, Pam. I'm left with only the last verse untouched. But he takes the music and rather than reacting to it personally or telling a story about it, he speaks to the way the music moves through the environment from storefronts and homeless and businessmen to the the pulse, and, undetectable in the face of a stranger, you must grab him by the throat and squeeze just enough to hold them to feel the heartbeat that drives. I love the ending verse, amateurs and part-timers, dream seekers and dream holders, guitar necks caressed like forgotten lovers of youth. Microphones melt from the breath of an unreleased passion. I once listened to an interview with Jagger, and he said you had to take it. You didn't just sing into a microphone, you had to make love to it. And if you ever watched him sing, especially early on, he really did just take the microphone and just right up into his mouth. This just catches so much of the way the music changes everything. So you either have to be in denial of it, like many of our parents were, or you were completely awash in it and celebrating the difference it made, you know, whether it was early rock and roll, R&B, the rebellion and anger of punk, grunge, you can just take it all, and whatever you were in love with became who you were almost in many ways. And he catches a whole lot of that in this poem.
Great comment, Tom. Thank you very much. I agree with you. This kind of reminds me of those early days before everybody kind of hit it big and you got that run like in San Francisco, you got the Whiskey A Go-Go and a number of other venues all in the same arena, and people would troll from one venue to the next to see who was playing and listen to the music. You'd get the Doors, you might get Joplin, you might get a Jefferson Airplane, and everything that was rolling in on that era gives you that note. And this kind of walks that very same sound. The thought of doing the music crawl, so to speak, from bar to bar, just to hear that one voice, that one song that you is noted. And I like the way, because you get from that eye like a still life etching to be ignored on the back wall of a carnival vendor's tent. It's such a nice note to be one of the throng in that moment. But without sight and even without touch, I feel a pulse of crying humanity vibrate through smoke-darkened windows beyond the stress-powered beer and companion desperate conversations, sings the soon-to-be-forgotten cries of the musicians of the meek. There is such a note because a whole lot of those bands never did make it, or they were brief little sparks in the moment before they kind of faded away into existence.
Well,
all right,
there,
Pam, where you want to go next?
All right. Up next we have You Love Me by OMG It's GP. And Tom, will you give that a read for us, please?
You couldn't
yeah.
be a monster.
Okay, I will do it. Let me just pop this up. I'll do this right before I go to bed. Okay, here it is by CP. You Love Me. You love me insane. I followed blindly into an ocean before I learned to swim. I packed my suitcase and walked the line you drew, chasing without meaning. You love me strong. I changed from a soft, minor reflection, bustling with anticipation, to scarred skin and frozen bones, awaiting further instruction. You loved me raw. Such sweet, easy penetration into whatever you wanted me to be, leaving a hole when you left. Entangled limbs and a sham of a sparkle caught in your eyes. You loved me free. I was drifting along the stars. You kept me grounded by letting me fly. My life was erroneous. You were the purest of my perfection. You love me wrong, with no open doors or windows to use for escape. I was confined behind your bars, and after clipping my wings, you flew away using yours. But at least you love me. End poem.
Great read, Tom. Thank you very much. All right, Anne, what you got to say about that?
Well, first of all, excellent read. I really like this poem by CP. One of the things I like about it is that it has a really bittersweet tone. To me, it captures the memories of a love that was an example of love at its best and at its worst. It just really, honestly, I could see this poem, this being made into a novel about first love. On a darker side, there was a certain idea of almost a codependency, of almost leaning on somebody that you know treats you wrong, and yet you have the hardest time letting go of them. And even after you let go of them physically and walk away, there's still that difficulty of letting go emotionally. It has this, especially the ending line, but at least you love me. It really feels like somebody whose self-esteem has been pushed into the ground and feels like there's only so much that they're allowed to be given or that they deserve as far as love goes. And for a poem that was a pre-write, I actually felt like it fit really well with the tone of the music and the prompt for tonight. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, I see, Sid. Thank you very much. And Tom, you got to read that. What'd you think?
It really sounded like somebody who didn't have a sense of their own value. Not so much that they felt worthless, but didn't know where their worth was. And being caught up in a love relationship, or the pretense of a relationship with the idea that it's all based in love, because it could be any of those things, really changes you in ways that you can't begin to imagine. And so it starts right insane, because the whole idea that it's going to start it all is insane. Strong, raw, free, wrong. There is a wake up. There is a point at which they begin to see that it's about the power the person has over them. And even in the end, they still are going to take whatever scraps available, but at least you love me. And that's where it's at. Because there's a sort of brutal wildness and awakening and it's really striking. I find it hard to believe that it's a 16-year-old from Texas, because this speaks to a consciousness that most adults haven't gathered. But it's very, very striking and very, very strong, and I have got to go to bed. So you guys have a great night.
Thank you for hanging out with us, Tom. Appreciate it.
Good night, Tom. Always fun.
My pleasure.
On that note, I'm going to go with something brief. Because of the language in this, this reminds me of Joplin's Me and Bobby McGee. There's that note to of all they went through. And in the end, he leaves, and you hit that note with, after clipping my wings, you flew away using yours. There's that note to kind of a death knell at that point in time. So I like the way this came out, the way it is. Reminded me of that song itself.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and that is a really good observation there, Rex. It does have that kind of feel of me and Bobby McGee. So, yeah, that's an awesome song, Janis Joplin, one of the all-time best. And, all right, up next we have Washing Coin by Jethro Del Cielo. And it goes like this. Basically improvised from start to finish. Melody and words and vocals all mess up here and there, but it's pretty spot on for 1966 or there around. Singers, songwriters like Donovan and Richie Havens, inspiration from Fair Bit of Smack Doodle Doo, and as always, some bit of blues. Lyrics are not transcribed as of now. And poem.
Great read, well, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Rex.
Well, it hits on that note of sometimes what comes out isn't exactly the finished product. It's that moment where, I've got this idea, I got the words, and then the melody, but if there's the other alternating parts that make up the song too. And initially, they kind of sound a little mashed together until you get into the production angle of it, where everything starts to blend in notes. And sometimes that's where the real magic happens, because you get to do your dubs, your overdubs. You might add an extra musician to help play out the benefit in the tone itself. And I think he drops in Donovan and Richie Havens. Donovan was really big in England back in the day, and everybody knew him, and he knew everybody. And I did like the thought with smack-a-doodle-doo. That's a nice touch, but always, bit of the blues, definitely. I love me some blues, especially when they're done oh so right. You got to read it.
Very cool. Well, first of all, I can say I can definitely bite into what you were saying. Makes sense to me. I mean, I think any artistic process that is that way, and especially music and songwriting, especially if you're working as a group, you know, I'm sure, you know, definitely I could see there definitely being the playing around parts and then the getting serious and putting it all together and just watching it all kind of blossom. Now, I've never seen the word smack-a-doodle-doo, but I have to say that it is a really fun word. I enjoyed reading it. I like that he says quite a bit in only a few short lines, how he talks about putting the melody and the words together, and that he gives a nod to specific singers and songwriters, Donovan and Richie Havens. And then that he tossed in, and as always, some bit of blues, because, you know, I mean, we've been paying a lot of tribute to straight up rock and roll of the 1960s tonight, but it is cool to see somebody throw in a dash of mentioning the blues, which, you know, the progression of the blues led into rock and roll, and it's all a part of the same music history. And also, it's cool to see what a new name. So I hope we get to see more of Jethro's writing. All right.
What we got next?
And up next, we have You and Me, Cassidy by Poetress Luna. And go ahead, Rex, give that a read, please.
As soon as it comes up.
You might have to refresh your page because I know
there
it's
is.
There. Yep.
You and me, Cassidy. Now you see him, now you don't. When your thoughts, his mental notes. Walking work of human art. From his mind, your words will spark. Every canvas stained complete of every person that he meets. He knows your trips. He knows your vibes. A fictional character when hell of a ride. The further he drives, the further he mesmerizes. Master of timing, motion, and rhyme. The literary author of your book, merging fact and fiction, you were given birth. Tripping on LSD, photographic memory, peeking into my trip with me, laughing, joking, smoking weed. From his ingenious visionary door, reality stretches furthermore, forever touched, forever changed by his psychedelic psychic brain, earth angel, poet, sinner, saint, and poet. All right, what you got? What you got? What you got?
Well, first of all, great read, Rex. This is, I know this is at least the third time I heard this poem, but you know what? I have it on my poems I think are awesome list. It honestly is one of my all-time favorite Luna writes. To me, she really captured the spirit of the 60s with the imagery in this. He knows your trips. He knows your vibes. A fictional character, one hell of a ride. A further he drives, a further he memorized, master of timing, motion, and line. And what I really like about this is how she, in that one line that he reminds us, or she reminds us, how much a fictional character can impact our lives. And another part that I really like is the literary author of your book, Merging Fact and Fiction, You Were Given Birth, Tripping on LSD, Photographic Memory, Peeking Into My Trip With Me, Laughing, Joking, Smoking Weed. You know, I remember she wrote this originally for the Grateful Dead contest that we ran for an After Midnight show. And I like, she just, the energy of this, the vibe, the whole, you know, the tripping on the LSD, there's you know, to me, you can't help but read this and feel yourself going back in time, feeling yourself cruising right along with these characters.
Right.
So just an excellent write and very well done.
Nicely said, Pat.
Who are you talking to?
Cassidy himself played a major role. He's part of the Beat Generation, the psychedelic counterculture. He was featured in Jack Kerouac's On the Road and served as the model for the character Dean Moriarty in the 57 version of that book. And Cassidy also appeared in Allen Ginsberg's poems. And he did tour with the Dead for quite a while, too. So he played quite the role back then, a deep poet, as somebody who walks a thin line with many things. LSD happened to be one of those, and being a deadhead was part of that culture, because everything you look there, the artwork and their albums, they were all quite intrinsic and detailed, something to wrap your mind around.
Absolutely. I always enjoy learning those little tidbits of information and history from you, Rex. And yeah, you're right. It definitely was a part of the culture, being a deadhead. And the Grateful Dead were definitely a band that had a lot of influence on people. So it's cool to hear this right again. Are you
what
there?
What we got next?
All right. Well, I'm just going to, the last, what's that?
I'm in here.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm going to put a poem of mine up, and it'll probably be the last one for the night, only because we don't have any more that have given permission. This was actually you had to write a 10-line poem, and every line had, and it was a contest Chris Bond had ran, and every line had to have the title of a song from one of his favorite albums, Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action, by Franz Ferdinand. And, of course, one of the rules was that your poem actually had to be titled Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Actions. All right, so with that being said, it goes like this. Goodbye, lovers and friends, Times Square sensationalism. Mercenaries stand on the horizon, a new deal awakening. We are the children of treason, animals of pan cursing. A brief encounter with the stranger in our minds, a bullet in the brain is a trinket paid for silence. Biting fresh strawberries, we tongue the juices pulped. love illumination, collecting drippings of waxed figures. An evil eye casted sideways seeds into quasi-philosophies. The universe expands in tones of broken glass orgasms. The right action makes you a martyr of the forgotten. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Times Square sensationalism. Yeah, you find yourself in Times Square, you probably find a whole lot of everything else along with you. Mercenary span of horizon, BBO awakening, we have a children of treason, animals of hand, cursing. Does that make cloven encounters?
What's that?
Does that make for cloven encounters?
Yep, exactly.
I like the abstract thought with this. A trinket paper stylus. Yeah, a little bit of lead goes a long way.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Exactly. And
how much acid did you do when you wrote this?
What's that?
How much acid did you do when you wrote this?
Well, you know me. I don't even smoke menthol cigarettes. I mean, I might have had a couple shots of whiskey. I'm not really sure. Or a beer, but definitely no acid. And if you get a chance, if you check out the contest, and you'll see the titles of the songs. So it kind of was difficult not to go with a kind of a surrealistic abstract vibe because I had to be able to fit the titles in. Me and my sister years ago when I only had two kids and they were 3 and 4, we went into New York City. Because this is when I went to visit her, but she lived in New York State, but in one of the small towns of New York State. But we took a train into the city and went to Times Square, and we would not let the kids out of their strollers. We made them stay in the strollers the whole time so we wouldn't lose them. It was so big and overwhelming, to me anyways, because, you know, small town girl.
And, all right. I've got next week's up already. Can someone get me a doctor? Got a little bit of the Motley Crue, some Slash, some Kiss, some Robert Palmer, some Black Sabbath, and a few others. Oh, not to mention Harry Nilsson, with the lime in the coconut.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Call me back to the...
Well, I know, like, you and I and Tom had talked about that, so I'm really glad you went with that idea. I think that is going to be
a fun notation, considering, God, there was a ton of them, too. I think that's the best 12.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that was, I was looking through that contest. You had some awesome choices and songs. And I have no doubt that that is going to be a fun show. Do you want me to tell people about some of the other shows, contests we have going on and shows coming up?
Yeah, we've got a couple minutes left.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So up next, a half hour from now, we have Hearts of LNT with Victoria Frost and Versus Goliath for... Twisted Tuesdays, Phil has a contest running, although I don't know if it's still up, but the topic is going to be poems about autumn for your After Midnight show. The contest is closed, but the topic is quotes from the French philosopher and critic Denis Diderot, and we got some really great writes for that one. Break on through, The Art of Seduction on Wednesday. I have a contest running for that called Pleasured Senses Curled in Smoke. And all the prompts are focused around Cigars. So, you know, get a chance to check that out. And then for Break On Through, I have a contest running, Trying to Catch the Sun, and with the artwork of a piece of artwork from Karel Appel, or however you pronounce the name. Victoria and I will be hosting Part Sinner, Part Saint this week because Afasiana will be away, and she's got a contest running. What's that?
Vacaciones.
I don't know what that is.
I just slipped over the
inside. Okay, I'm sorry. That went right over my head, mainly because I couldn't understand the word you were saying. But Part Sinner, Part Saint is Losing Your Grip is the contest. And then on Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, I keep bouncing around back and forth, I know, is Double Helix. And I think Afasiana is running that contest. If not, Dexter is. And their topic for this week is going to be, what is it, imposter syndrome. The idea of feeling like you're an imposter or feeling like you're putting on a front for people. I think we just have a lot of awesome shows coming up this week. That I'm looking forward to. And then at the end of this month, let's remind people what we have at the end of this month, Rex Halloween week, a different Halloween
theme
show.
That's why witches can't get pregnant, because warlocks have Halloween.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Well, I have to say, I have had fun tonight. As always, you are awesome.
Yep. It was a great night. Had a lot of fun. Enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the rides.
Absolutely. Me too.
All right. Till next time we meet on Sunday next. Good night, everybody, and have a nice evening. And don't forget, the V-Twins tonight versus and Victoria, bringing you Hearts of LNP.